State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live from the legendary Breakfast at Barney's, it's time for Big Facts. DJ Scream is here. Big Bang, Baby JD. We got a special, special, special guest. The first guest we've pulled up on, Mary Cassine Reed.
What's going on?
Mary Cassine Reed, welcome to Big Facts. Welcome to Big Facts. How you feeling today, first off?
I feel amazing,
man. You feel at home here? You frequent Breakfast at Barney's?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think anybody that wants good food in the morning or the evening at 8 o'clock, 7 days a week, they come to Breakfast at Barney's. I'm so proud of these guys, what they built in the middle of a pandemic. Just shows you how Black people are.
There you go.
I mean, in the middle of a pandemic, they built a business that I think at the end of the day is going to be a national brand. It's kind of like, it has the same energy of when I met Pinky Cole.
I met Pinky
after she started Slutty Vegan and the neighborhood was trying to close her down. And she was just going through all of this abuse as a young entrepreneur, but she's another person with that kind of spirit. And the same, these guys have that kind of energy. I think that this is the next big thing in the city.
Nice.
That's a big cosign. Agreed.
Cosign.
I mean, look at this spread. And I'm telling y'all, I don't know how the camera situation was working, but this is a 24-layer red velvet cake. It's the best red velvet cake I've ever had. And then the pancakes have this special mix in them that gives you a
it's like pound cake on a cloud.
A pound cake feel. So it's actually a funnel cake feel to it. Almost like you out at the park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do that. My daughter loves that. She can't believe that she can eat gold. So every time, that's a new experience for her. And then the soul rolls down there, they don't have, yeah, they do. They got Yardbird on
like,
here.
Like, they ate eight of them.
Yardbird. And then the potatoes are magic.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing food here.
And so, I appreciate Big Facts, putting Breakfast at Barney's on the map.
Most definitely.
Nah, they support us. They support everything that we do. Yeah. So we have to support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I actually got one of them cakes for my birthday.
Yeah.
They brought it to the show.
I had them at my party. So when I kicked off on June 10th, it's 30 days ago. Today's July 10th. We had 20 of them all through the house.
Breakfast
at Barney's. Legendary.
How much money is those people that spent to be there? They could eat whatever they want.
You know how it is. So you just made history, right?
Yeah. So we raised We had the biggest single fundraiser in the history of mayoral politics. We raised $550,000 in one night at Tyrese's house. And then we raised $1 million faster than any candidate who's ever run for mayor in the history of the city. We raised $1,055,000 in 20 days. So I launched on my birthday, June 10th. And we closed out the first reporting period on June 30th. Mm. And then if you count the raise, I'm not talking about money that people transferred a loan to themselves. We raised more than the other top three people combined. Mm. I'm going to beat every one of them.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of fundraising, yeah. I was doing a little bit of research.
Yes.
And when you were in your senior year at Howard, you did a $15 fee increase for the students.
Well, y'all got real people on here.
That's a
real interview.
Yeah.
Oh, this real interview.
You did let me step out of it.
I love it. You did the $15 fee increase, and which was matched by the federal government, covered by grants.
Yes.
And you guys only expected to raise about $300,000, but didn't you end up raising about $2.4 million?
No, we raised $20 million today.
What?
So it's the second largest until Mrs. McKenzie donated her 30 or 40 million to the school. It's the second largest fundraiser in the history of the school, and it still goes to this day.
And it was your initiative.
Yeah, I wrote it, I created it, I thought it up, I learned about it when I was an intern working for Joe Kennedy.
Right.
Joseph Kennedy III on Capitol Hill is how I learned about it. And I was on the Board of Trustees at the time.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing was when Hurricane Katrina occurred, that fund was used to give young people from Louisiana and transfer students from Louisiana money so that they could keep their education. Kind of
like maintain.
Going. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I did the commencement speech for Howard in 2019. It was the last commencement speech before COVID.
Yeah.
And they talked about it. So it's past $20 million. Yes. Yeah. It just goes to show what we can do collectively. But you are right. I mean, you're well-sourced. Initially, we thought it was going to be $300,000 a year.
Mm. Wow.
But really, every HBCU in America should be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that money. You know, one of the areas where we've really got to improve on is the strength of our endowments.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because the endowment is the money that keeps the institution going, rain, sleet, or snow.
Yeah.
And so I was always into endowments. And now Howard University has the biggest endowment of any HBCU in
America. Basically, like for HBCUs, endowments are to HBCUs what booster clubs are to like public schools.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
But endowments really build an institution so that kids have to pay less.
Okay.
Because the way it operates, you earn interest off of it in perpetuity.
Oh, okay.
And then the way the university works is they get to take a certain percent of their interest and push it out for grants and scholarships. At most HBCUs, 60 to 75% of the kids in all of our schools need aid in order to finish college.
Mm. Or some sort of assistance.
Yeah. And so it really makes a difference. It's why the mayor's ball that I did when I was mayor of Atlanta was so big. Because over that time, we raised $8 million for our local HBCU schools. Okay. And then we gave the people of Atlanta the best, you know, ball that they had ever seen. I tell you something, Big Bang.
You feel like you the best mayor to ever hit this city?
No, I don't.
Why? Who do you feel like the best mayor to ever hit this city?
I think it's a tie between Maynard Jackson and Andrew Young.
Maynard Jackson. I knew you were going to say that.
So, Ambassador Young is my guy because I met him when I was a kid, when I was 13. And then when I was 20, I was getting ready to go to New York, take a job at Time Warner. And he said, you ought to come home. The city's going to need a mayor like you in 20 years. And then 20 years later, we were sitting in the Pritzker suite at the Hyatt Hotel when they came in to tell me that I won. So he was sitting on the couch when I found out I had won.
Talk about the
first time that I won. So he has a special place in my heart. But I think that Maynard Jackson, whose son I'm friends with, and Ambassador Young defined the Atlanta that we know right now.
And they were good, like, for their time, like, and they did what needed to be done for what was going on at that time in the city.
Yeah, they set the foundation.
Who could be the best possible candidate?
Oh, I just told you I'm gonna beat everyone up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
come on, man.
This your city.
Yeah, I mean, so in this election coming up, we have real challenges in front of us. You know, because you are so entrenched in the community right now, our city's just off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's never been a time in my life where you landed in another city, whether you're in Chicago, L.A., New York, Houston, wherever you moved. We all got off the plane and said we were from Atlanta. Like,
right.
And what? Like, right. Is there anything else? Mm-hmm. And right now, when you say that, you know, people flinch a bit because of the crime situation. Right. I mean, gangsters are concerned. Mm-hmm. So right. We really have to restore our sense of community and get our city back, because I believe during COVID, America was using Atlanta as its playground.
Yep.
Most definitely.
So everybody was coming to Atlanta because we were still open. And the behavior that's not typical for our community, people saw, and then it leaks. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you see people behaving in a certain way in your place, well, number one, you get with that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's really harmed us. And I think that all of us, the reason I'm on the show today is if I'm fortunate enough to win, I'm going to have to come back here because we got to have a lot of conversations about how to restore our sense of community without, you know, running around.
Right.
You know, like John. Like Law the or Wild something. Wild so West. It's a balance. It's a balance. You're not having all that tough talk, but restoring normalcy to the Atlanta that we know. Like, you gotta leave. You can't bring your machine gun out, man. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. Yeah, that's gotta stay at home. Yeah. I mean, just their conversations. You know, the water boys, I'm gonna raise $2 million for them.
Okay. Yeah, what they gonna do with the money?
I'm gonna let them provide. I'm gonna go to council and ask them to provide an opportunity to provide water to the city. City's got 9,000 employees. It's got various departments. I think that we can find a way for those young men to have an operating business that certainly employs 200 of them. Mm. I mean, I've met with them on multiple occasions. I count about 200 to 250 brothers. Mm. And so that's an opportunity for us to get to know some people with some get up and go.
They're saying you got to get them on the street, basically.
Yeah, no question. So
they would be like contractors for the city?
No, we're going to create a company.
Okay.
It's going to employ them. So, for example, in public works,
right,
the people that that clean the city and pick up our trash, mm-hmm. they all need water, have to be served water.
Right.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to raise $2 million in private capital. I already have a number of the commitments for it, if I'm fortunate enough to win. And those people are going to make more money with us in a way that's going to allow them to establish a company, establish credit, and be exposed to people like us. In a cool way.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be on the intersections. And the reason that they're not going to be on the intersections is we know how to move with that energy.
Right.
But there are an awful lot of people. My mom doesn't know how to move with that energy.
Not for sure.
My mom still drives.
For sure. Mm.
She's 79. Right. She doesn't know what to do.
With somebody running up to her car.
If somebody walks into the car, my mom and dad asked my mama for a blue one. They were talking about a $100 bill. So she was giving a kid a 20. And they said, no, I want a blue one. Well, my mama didn't know what a blue one is. Mm. So no person right. should be put in that situation
for sure.
in traffic.
For sure.
But we're not going to say, well, we're just going to take your opportunity. That's not the Atlanta way.
Right.
Right? Because yeah. anybody who will stand in an intersection has got some get up and go.
True.
But how do you, what's the process of that, though? Like?
The process is, I'm going to ask Dan Cathy, who owns Chick-fil-A, who funds this Junior Achievement Center right at Northside Drive, where many of them convene.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask them to go into a partnership with me. So the same way you show up at that intersection, you'll show up either at a Junior Achievement, or I'll use one of the city's at Promise Centers or one of the recreation centers. The same way you show up at the intersection, come show up there. You're not going to lose.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to actually, a young water boy was shot near Old National the other day. Yeah. I actually think we ought to have a pause right now. And I would give the young people the money mm-hmm. right now, just a pause. Because somebody, right. a kid just lost their life, is alive, but got shot several times.
Right.
So I think that we need to pause. I think we need big community conversations. Mm-hmm. And
a real plan
forums like this are going to be where we had these talks. And then we're going to break off and we're going
to
do them in private.
Yeah, because you got to get niggas to talk to them that they understand.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not here for nothing.
Huh? I know exactly
what I'm
saying. That's why I'm asking what the process of a nigga with no ID, no nothing. I don't even know my social security card. How do I get a job? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But see, our thing is we have to get with people in that up close way. We're gonna change some people's lives. Because people know if you're around us, you'll be able to get legal money.
Facts.
Mm. Right.
Right. Yep. If you're around me, you're getting legal money. If they're around you, they're going to get legal money. And so me, you, Shaka, Coach K, P, everybody that has respect out here in any way has got to put our arms around these people just differently.
Mm.
Right? But there's never going to be a time where I do anything where it's just tough.
Yeah.
Mm. It's always going to be, this is better for you. A better option, but some of the things we just can't tolerate. Mm.
So you don't believe in that defund the police shit?
No, I don't defund no police. No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. We have to have police. You can't have an international city that's the center of human rights and civil rights in America. Like, on any given day, something in Minneapolis or L.A. or Dallas can make so I have 10,000
trigger
people.
Something here,
right?
10,000, it didn't have anything to do. Nothing happened to you in Atlanta. But we have 10,000 people that we have to deal with because they're protesting what happened in Minnesota. Yeah. And I don't know what's in the water in Minnesota, but it's an awful lot to be happening that happens up there.
Yeah. Mm.
The point I'm making is that you need a jail capability because a mayor can unilaterally, working with the corrections chief, just say release the people on the signature bond. They get no record. They had an opportunity to protest. They go in, they process out, they leave on their own signature. And so I think I have some credibility because I was the person that ended Red Dog. I was the person that decriminalized marijuana.
Thanks.
I was the person that said all officers are going to wear video cameras.
Right.
I was the person that said if you get shot by the police, it's going to be independently investigated by the GBI. Right? So people act like I'm walking around talking tough on crime. No, I'm real reasonable.
Right.
But I also know that when something happens to you, right, I am, if you're mayor, when you're mayor, you have the responsibility. You got three jobs when you're mayor. When you wake up in the morning, you get to go to work safely and get home safely. That's my number one job.
Right.
Did nothing happen to you while you were in the city that I am legally responsible for.
Right.
You moved around, you ate, you shopped, you made it back home, and you put that key in the door, your family's there. That's one. Yeah. Two, if you own real estate, most of us, if we own a house, it's the biggest investment in our lives. For most of us. Not you, but for most of us. So my job is to make sure that your property values are going up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if the city's not doing well, the biggest investment for 97% of people if they own a house.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to make sure that goes up. And then number three, I want you to have a job.
Mm.
I have to have an environment where you have a job. And if you lose that job, you can get another job. Any mayor that's doing those three things well, the city's going to love. And they're going to embrace.
Mm.
Now, folks can say whatever they want about me, but everybody knows when I was mayor, everybody made more money.
Oh, nah, we get money.
True.
We get money.
Facts.
Nobody.
We get good money.
Right.
That, yeah. So, if I'm fortunate enough to win, everybody's going to make more money than they've ever made before.
Mm.
So, having these calm conversations, I think is going to, be possible.
So, look, I have one question while we're talking about, like, the police and,
you're
all of that kind of stuff.
That.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go, man. I didn't come in to play.
The condition of, like, the Atlanta City Jail and the Fulton County Jail, is that something that's within your jurisdiction to fix and get better, or is that, like, a governor problem?
No. Well, first of all, any problem in the city is the mayor's problem.
Okay.
So as it relates to the jail, that's fully the mayor's responsibility.
Okay.
Because you own it, and everybody who works there works for you and really works at your will.
Right.
The Fulton County Jail is more of a cooperative problem, meaning that I don't have direct jurisdiction over it, but the sheriff is Pat Labatt, who's an outstanding sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pat worked for me for 8 years. So yeah. He was my corrections chief.
Right.
He did a phenomenal job as corrections chief, which helped him become sheriff of Fulton County because he had done the job before.
He's a great man.
He is.
So we aligned. So what we want to do is cooperate. Mm-hmm. His jail is at maximum capacity.
Right.
Right. And so what I want to do is to use the Atlanta jail to extend his capacity. Mm-hmm. But I've also got to have capacity for us. Right. In my opinion, you can never tell criminals that your jail is closed because the modern criminal is increasingly intelligent.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And yep. If I know that Fulton County is full and has overcrowding problems to the extent that when people get in, if it's not a major offense, you roll them out.
Yeah.
And Atlanta's jail is closed. What? If I go and steal your car and get caught, it's a high probability that I'm going to be right back out.
Exactly.
And so it's the wrong message, in my opinion, to say that we have no jail.
Right.
Because I'm not going to have anybody carjacking anybody. My rules are real simple rules. You can't shoot nobody. You can't carjack anybody. Don't rob anybody.
Hmm.
And if you do, we're going to have a real situation. Right? So those are basic. I can't shoot. If you're in Atlanta, don't shoot anybody.
Because
mm-hmm. you're going to know that if you shoot somebody, like I'm going to build a big police force. We're going to train post 525, post George Floyd. We're going to have best in class training. But people are not going to be getting, we have 157 murders last year.
Mm-hmm.
When I was mayor, there was only more than 100 murders in Atlanta one time.
12
years. One time in 8 years. 8 years,
my bad. Yeah, 8 years.
So 7 out of 8, less than 100 people lost their lives. Because what? My job, one, is to make sure you get home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my number one job. And when I was mayor, I had a BlackBerry. Anytime a felony was created, it was in my phone. Not abstract. All the information was in my phone.
Mm. You gonna let Buckhead take the money?
All the time.
Don't let Buckhead take the money out of the city?
You know, I don't think it's anything about letting anybody. What I want to do is to try to demonstrate that what is going on in our environment is a moment in time and not a permanent reality. And so what I want to do is, rather than let, I want to try to persuade the Buckhead community to remain. And I believe, so everybody in Buckhead knows that when I was mayor, they were safe. It's not a fiction. It's reality. And so what I'm going to ask for is to give me a shot.
Yeah.
You know, they're scheduled to leave in November of 2022. Right? I'm just going to ask for 2023. What's a year?
Right.
Because if, you know, people act like that's a rich person's problem. It's really a black mom, poor people's problem. If Buckhead leaves, that's 25-30% of the city's general fund revenue.
Right.
So all of the problems we had are tougher problems because any problem where you have 25% less money is a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so aside from the fact that we throw away city too busy to hate,
mm-hmm.
we throw away our reputation as being a place where black people and white people work out our differences different than any other place in the country. We throw away the fact that when you go to a Hawks game, there's no arena that looks like it in America. When you go to a Falcons game, no arena that looks like it in America. I was having dinner at Craig's restaurant in L.A., all y'all know. So it's one of the hottest restaurants in L.A. I was the only black person in there. There's nowhere you go in Atlanta where you're the only black person.
Facts.
In there.
True.
Facts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Being the mayor of a city like Atlanta, right, and a black mayor, who's your biggest hater? Like, for real.
Man, it's too many. It's got to be the AJC. They got to be number one.
Oh, wow.
These can't stand me. I mean, the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't like anybody. I mean, as much as I have gone through with them, they were that way. The only person that they were you know, normal to was Ambassador Young. He's a, I mean, he was Dr. King's right hand. Yeah. So he had a better relationship. But they've never treated any black man well.
It's crazy.
None. Period. None.
So there's nothing you can do.
Nothing
to
I
gain
can
respect
do. Nothing I can do.
Of the Atlanta Journal Constitution.
200 million in cash reserves. AA plus credit from Stewart, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. Won the Super Bowl College Football Championship NCAA awarded to the city of Atlanta while I was there. Back to back to back to back. Negotiated. Did the deal for Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Did the deal for State Farm Arena. Did the deal for Ponce City Market. Did all of that new construction, brought NCR to Atlanta, 17 headquarters and regional hubs brought in, record number of job creation, record number of population growth. Black people made more money than they ever before, crossed the threshold of $1 billion spent with black women, $6 billion in new construction in Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, negotiated the longest lease with Delta Airlines since Hartsfield. And the founder of Delta, C. Woman, came to the city. We did a 20-year deal with a 10-year option, keeping the headquarters in Atlanta. Yeah. But you know what? That's fine. Because here's why I'm on this show right now. The AJC has never elected a mayor of Atlanta.
Mm. Facts.
Pop your shit.
Mm.
Yes.
They've never said, this should be the mayor.
Yeah.
And that person became mayor. Facts. So you just have to take it. Sometimes, as you know, you just got to stick your chin out. Take it, keep smiling, hug your kid, They know that you're wonderful. Keep it pushing. And we'll talk to them on November 3rd.
Now, everything that you accomplish is not easy work. You know what I'm saying? Being a mayor, being a politician is not easy work. So at the end of that 8 years, did you leave like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm going to be with my family and I don't want to be mayor again? Or at the end of that eight years, did you feel like I got more work to do and that's why you're coming back to run for mayor again?
Well, we're on Big Facts. So this is the first year you leave, it's terrible.
Okay.
So I don't take drugs, but it's got to be what being a junkie is like. Mm. So that first year.
You went through a major withdrawal.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
So you were missing it?
It's terrible.
Wow.
It's terrible.
So no part of you was exhausted at the end
I slept for a month.
Okay.
But when you wake up, right? I mean, when you're a mayor, every time you land in a city, your mind is like a computer because you're comparing your city to, should I have that? Should I have that?
Right.
Is this better than mine?
Right.
So it takes a year to come down from the fact that that's no longer your responsibility.
Mm.
Then second year, I was having a ball. Third year, I had gotten over it.
Mm.
So I didn't want to be mayor anymore. So when Mayor Bottoms made the decision to go spend more time with her family, everybody thought it was a quick decision for me to run. It was not, because I was really enjoying myself. I mean, one of my best friends in the world, there's a guy named Tommy Duncan. I mean, he sold his company for nine figures. So
nine?
Yeah, nine.
That's a lot of money.
Like 100 million in.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Best friend in the world now.
Yeah.
One of my other best friends, guy you all know, Ryan Glover.
Shout out to Ryan. That's
in
my guy.
In January 18, they sold the Bounce for $305 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my dudes was like, man, let's...
Bro, we can go in our pocket and give you this shit. Let's get it.
So,
yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, like when I walked in here, Tommy is on a yacht in Florence, Italy right now at the original Gucci store, sending me pictures from, he bought out the whole Gucci store. I mean, he closed the Gucci store for his wife.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here at Breakfast and Barney's, you know what I mean?
One big fact. I'm
like, she doing real research.
I'm just asking what the niggas want to hear, man. It's cool for the black men, but what about the niggas? What we going to do for the niggas, man?
So, we got more opportunity than anybody's ever had. The good thing is, right? So, to finish your question and then.
My bad.
No problem. So the bottom line is, so it was rough. But the assessment that I did when I decided to run on June 10th was I love this city and I'm going to live here and this is where my family's going to be raised. And we're in a unique moment where 20% of the city, if an election were held today, 73% of them would walk.
Mm.
Right? Mm. The relationship between the state and the city is the worst that it's ever been. Crime is up 60 points. And I think I am the person to calm those things down and stabilize Atlanta and then probably move on.
Mm.
So that's how I view it. And then financially I'm good.
Mm.
So I can do it.
You said the relationship between the state and the city is the worst it's ever been. So how would you personally deal with Governor Kemp? Because that's a big part of getting everything back to how
I deal with
him
the way that I dealt with Governor Deal. Governor Deal and I had the best relationship between the mayor and governor in the history of Georgia.
Mm.
Excluding nobody. So we built the modern motion picture and television industry from a $400 million sector.
Yeah, you did.
All of these cameras and lights. When we started, it was a $400 million business. When I walked out the door, it was a $9.5 billion business, employed 37,000 people. So many people are getting bread and doing well and being able to have a creative career outside of the record business and the record sector.
Mm-hmm.
We have reimagined people who made their career in the record sector, now in television, podcasts, all these different creative industries. Mm-hmm. All three Marvel movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Film where?
Atlanta.
City of Atlanta.
Right, Atlanta.
While who was mayor? Right. Black Panther filmed where? Here in Atlanta while who was mayor?
Right.
Okay.
Tyler Perry Studios done with who?
Okay.
While who was mayor?
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fast 7, Fast 8 done where? While I was mayor.
Yeah.
So you know when a person makes a blockbuster movie, they're making a career decision when you're spending $300 million, $400 million on a movie. So people would look at the line and be like, I'm going to do it where that dude is. And so as a result, look at our technology sector. Technology sector has exploded, right? And so my sense is that we have a really strong economy, but our national brand is being damaged by crime. And I think that I'm the right person to reduce crime without here looking like a crazy, looking like a crazy person. Mm. Right. So I'm the person to negotiate calmness, and people know that I don't play. I don't play. And so all I'm really saying is cut out the foolishness. And nobody has really been saying cut out the foolishness. And I'm going to have you all walking around saying, just bring it down.
Can't wait.
I'm not crazy, and you're affecting everybody's money.
Right? True. Facts.
Everybody's.
Biggest facts.
When you're in a club, right, nobody else, I know all the club owners. Yeah. I'm going to meet with every single one of them. I'm going to meet with all of the gas station owners.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell them, what does it take for a black woman to be able to get some gas and not have her head on a swivel? You got black women putting up their cars. They bust their behinds to become successful enough. Woman bought a Porsche Panamera. She then had to go buy a Ford Focus because she's shaking when she's getting gas for the car that she dreamed about getting. Nah, Hannah's.
Hannah broke her one up.
Hannah pulls up with no wind and leaves all the windows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She leave a door unlocked.
The car, I mean, just think of psychologically.
Yeah.
You have a car, I'm going to leave it open. That's how bad
just
it is.
Just in case.
Yeah. And that's where men too, but women are. Every man that I know in Atlanta right now checks on his woman regarding their gas situation. Men been pumping more gas than I ever seen them pump.
Yeah.
Which is cool and positive, but you don't want it to be mandatory.
But they still got to be aware too, though.
They do. But I mean, right now, when you're getting together in Atlanta socially, the conversation opens up with what happened to you. Man, I just got my windows broke. Man, guy tried to steal a car. Guy pulled up beside me on the freeway, pointed a gun at me, told me to pull over. I mean, this stuff is not, this is not Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it is because these folks believe that they can get away with it. And everybody who's listening to this podcast knows that if I'm fortunate enough to be mayor, that that is not going to be the case. And if something happens to you, the second maddest person is going to be me.
Mm.
That's hard.
Which is what people want. Because if you go do something about it, you're going to jail. Right?
Yeah.
So if somebody pulls up and tells you to get out your car and leave the keys running, they go Ice Cube on you. Right?
Right.
All you can do is thank God that you didn't get killed and say, take it.
Mm.
But the person who you call is who?
Mm.
Me.
And
if I don't feel passionately about the violation. When I ran for mayor before, we had a crime spike. And I'll never forget. I tell you, when I won the race, I was in a town hall woman, and this lady stood up and she said, she was a black woman. She said, they knew that I was a single female. They kicked in the door to my house. They looked at me while they took the TV off my wall. So think of the cowardice of a dude that says, I'm not going to rob a house where I have a real situation. I'm going to rob a single woman's house. And you know what? I looked her in the eye and said, let me tell you something. If I'm mayor, I'm going to get your TV back. You understand me? I'm going to look for your TV.
Nah, real shit. Real shit.
Yeah.
People, I want my TV back.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody snatched my chain, I don't want to buy. No, I don't want the insurance.
Yeah.
I want my chain back.
Right.
I want my chain. I want you to go get my chain.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a television.
You want all the smoke.
If the person who's responsible, you know, and I meet with dudes. Yeah. I would meet with street dudes and tell them, you know, to keep it in the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it might appear that we're equal, but we're not.
Mm.
Right.
The police department's a paramilitary force.
Mm.
Right? So You might have shooters, but your shooters shoot and run. My shooters shoot and go home and go to sleep.
Right. So, like, another thing.
This, nah, this one, that's the talk we need to.
Yeah, yeah.
To get the city back right.
Yeah. And then, like, another thing that I know that's, like, a really big thing for people is the whole, like, gentrification thing.
Yeah.
So, what are your plans on, I guess, preventing the illicit gentrification, especially, like, well, like, my family's, like, from the Simpson Road, Vine yeah. City neighborhood, but... Yeah. Like, you got, like, the Pittsburgh area, yeah. like, all of the areas where everything is booming. So, how do you plan on preventing the illicit gentrification and also taking care of, like, the elderly people, the people that are on fixed income, and preventing them from being priced out of those neighborhoods?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is go on Big Facts and tell people don't sell. Because the mayor ought to be going everywhere. Mm-hmm. And open up every comment with don't sell. And if somebody is talking to you about buying your property because of a property tax situation, call me. Because the last I checked, I left the city with $200 million in cash. So I left the biggest cash reserve in the history of Atlanta.
In the history of cash reserves.
Yeah, so Atlanta has never had, when I walked out of the door for all that talk, I tell you what money wasn't missing. The $200 million. It was all there.
Yes. I need to go take a couple thousand and leave the $200 million.
$200 million was all there.
Fuck out of here, man.
So I mean, I was bankroll fresh.
Yeah.
All there.
So I believe that. We started what's called an anti-displacement initiative before I walked out.
Okay.
It means you raise private money. So if I move next to somebody and I modernize my house, I push up the property values of the person next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when their taxes go up, you take that money and you pay the increase.
The difference, yeah.
And then you need a grant program as well, because I moved into the neighborhood, your house shouldn't look junky. It's just dignity. Yeah. Give me a grant. Yeah. I mean, let me paint my house. Yeah. Fix my deck.
Turn me up.
Fix my windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So we need a grant initiative. But the good thing about me and what differentiates me from other people, everything they say is a hypothetical. I did it. When I was mayor, I raised private money. I paid people's property taxes through this fund called the West Side Future Fund. It was my idea.
I remember that.
I named it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it was for.
Right.
And it was to pay people's property. So because what was going on was these people were walking up on, they were looking for tax liens, knocking on people's doors. People didn't have $7,000, $8,000, $10,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The family didn't have $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. And they would say, I'll buy your property for the tax lien and maybe I'll put $5,000 on that. Or maybe I'll put $2,500 on that. Or I'll help you move into an apartment. And so my position is going to be the city has a massive amount of real estate.
Right.
I want to do deals, use the city dirt to help build affordable housing faster.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you drop the price on real estate deals is give them the dirt.
Right.
So you give them the dirt, you subtract that out of the overall project costs, and you get to build affordable housing faster. I'm also going to find out what happened to the $30 million Choice Neighborhood grant that I won that I can't see or find.
It disappeared.
I ain't seen it. I have not seen it. But I know I won it.
Yeah.
So
there's a $30 million.
Who knows? But I'm looking for it. And so biggest real estate owner, City of Atlanta, AHA, Invest Atlanta, Atlanta Beltline. All of those assets need to be put out so you can build affordable housing faster.
For sure.
It's one of the focuses that I think the mayor has rightly focused on. And I think she's done a really good job in focusing the city on affordable housing. The other thing we've got to do is the city has an awful lot of affordable units that working people don't live in.
Mm.
So when you see these high rises being built, if it involves municipal financing, we'll say there's a 10% set aside units for working people. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go back and check, you'll see that they didn't lease those 10% to working people. They got a, they have a person paying regular rent in many of those 10% units.
Oh, it's supposed to be prorated. It's,
no. So if you are rich, that one of them 10% units was for you. They don't advertise it when you walk up to the building. And then they just start putting regular
people that are paying in a regular
unit
price.
They should have been. So if it's a market $3,000 a month unit, mm-hmm. it should have been $1,650 for somebody.
Yeah.
Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to change somebody's life. If you've got a mom who's living in a building where the average rent is $3,000 and she's paying $1,500, well, her and her family are around what? They're around
affluent people.
And wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're mixed into the overall building, and it changes their life outcome.
Their perception of
so
everything.
So I'm going to go through every unit and every deal, and I am going to audit to see who's living in these units. Mm-hmm. And if that...
And you're going there and see what's going on?
Exactly. I'm going to look around, and I'm going to go, how are we doing? Where are our people at?
Knocking on the door to door.
Yeah, so if you look at Pond City Market, Pond City Market is a deal that was done where you're supposed to have a set amount of affordable housing.
Right.
You need to go and say, let me see all of the people in Pond City Market, in the flats, they're beautiful, who are
affordable,
medium and low income. Show them to me.
I know some people need them.
Exactly. My point is you have all these buildings and all these transactions, and it's just like, you know, how are we doing?
Right.
And
what are we doing?
The thing about having been mayor, like, I did these deals. I'm not a bystander. I know what was promised. I know what should have been done. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the need. And if we move the needle there, I think Atlanta's just going to be, I mean, we're just going to be on fire.
It's what about flourish. the zoning shit they try to make illegal for the Airbnb? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. You're going to have to brief me on that.
No, they're saying, like, you know how people rent properties in Airbnb?
Yeah. They're trying to make it to illegal. Where because they've had, I guess, several issues with like Airbnbs and parties and, you know, the parties at the Airbnbs, like resulting in violence and stuff like that. So I saw on the news, I'm not quite sure of the exact specifics, but they're trying to basically pretty much outlaw Airbnbs in the city and make it to where you're advertising that you have a property that you're putting up for rent on Airbnb, then you're going to be served with a citation because they're going to be quote unquote illegal.
You're like short term rentals.
Yeah, I need to. I'm going to have to get deeper on that. I don't have an answer to that right off the top of my head. So that's one where I just haven't caught up with that one yet.
Okay.
What's your takes on full marijuana legalization in Atlanta or Georgia? And what would you do if and when elected mayor to?
I think the marijuana scheme in Atlanta should be like the marijuana scheme in the city of San Francisco. Mm. I think we need to start with medicinal marijuana, and then I think we need to see how we do handle medicinal. I don't believe that we should start with wide open marijuana sales all the way across the board, straight out of the gate.
So no recreational straight out the gate?
Not out of the gate.
Okay.
But I think that we need to let everybody know that there's a there, so that the community and entrepreneurs can be prepared to adjust. Mm. I also believe in using the city's ability to either ban it or cooperate with it to make sure that Black entrepreneurs are at the table in a real way and not left by the wayside.
Mm.
So whatever the state passes regarding the marijuana licenses that they're reviewing right now, in my mind, the city should have a vote on what is going to happen with how that business sets up and operates in the city. And we have to have a goal consistent with what we do at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport with Black and women participation.
Mm.
Period, full stop.
Mm. What about those incarcerated, though, that might have got harsh sentences for marijuana charges?
Their sentences should be reduced consistent with the modern state of the law.
Mm.
No question about it.
Okay.
But that issue, along with this entrepreneurship issue, is the one that's not getting enough attention.
Right.
I mean, because right now, Black people aren't the people who are benefiting off the legalization of marijuana, while Black men sit in jail and rot.
There you go.
Because they sold marijuana. And so there is a lot of righting of the ship that has to be done around marijuana, and I think that I'm the right person to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say, like, when everybody, we know Kasim Reed is now running for mayor. There was a lot of love. And I'm sure you felt the love. But when the love comes, the hate.
Yes.
So you talked about the AJC and the naysayers and the people and the accusations and everything. What would you say to the people that's on the fence that are not Kasim Reed supporters to get them to support you?
What I would say is that all of us live full lives with mistakes and terrific things that we've done. And what I would ask is that they view the entirety of my life and the entirety of my service. Mm. So you can certainly talk about the warts, the people who went to jail during my administration. You can certainly talk to me about whatever warts you want to talk about. But as long as it's viewed as the whole picture, as the best economy the city had had in a generation, crime was at 40-year lows, teen crime was reduced 25%. Every single recreation center in the city of Atlanta was open. Every pool was open. Recreation center stayed open until 7 o'clock at night, 6, 7 days a week. We started providing hot meals to up to 2,000 young people per day. AA plus credit from Standard & Poor's, Moody's and Fitch. 17 regional U.S. headquarters move into the city. Largest population in influx. Atlanta's really 500,000. 20-year lease with Delta. If you view it all.
Mm-hmm. The full picture.
I mean, yeah. So it's the same
way. It's a no-brainer.
You would have to do it with Jordan.
Mm. Oh, man. Baseline.
So, yeah, so
going baseline.
As long as we're talking about all of it, we can talk about all of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I come in to do an interview with you all, I'm ready to talk about whatever we talk about. Mm. And to voters, you're not imagining that you were better off 4 years ago. Mm.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Those are big facts.
You know what's crazy about this little screen? He didn't send in to ask what questions we're going to ask.
Did not.
People do that. People do that.
I didn't ask for no prep or what y'all can't talk. Whatever. When I come to sit down somewhere, whatever you want to do, I tell people all the time, ask me anything as long as you can handle the answer. Mm. Right? So my thing is, I think people care more about being able to pump gas than what the AJC says about me.
Thanks.
I think people care more about the fact that they're walking through metal detectors and having to swap their bags out to walk to the car. Because you went to Gucci and you can't walk out with a Gucci bag. You got to white bag that thing, right? Which means when you give it as a present, you got to put it back in the Gucci bag. What's happening in Atlanta now is people are forced to think about who their mayor is. When I was mayor, you might have heard the AJC saying some story about me, but it was a passive thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, look at them. Look at that. But it wasn't about 157 murders. People are being forced to think about who their mayor is because their direct lives
are being affected
to make you think about, I have to park my car and leave my car unlocked with the windows down. What? That's my norm?
Yeah.
That's my norm? So the point I'm making is and if folks look at all that and don't want me, there are four or five other people that I'm getting ready to beat anyway. So you have options. I'm going to beat every single one of them.
So you're saying basically, don't look at Kasim. Look at what I've done for this city.
Yeah. So I understand. So I was not planning on running from there. So, I mean, I was not plotting on this job. I was on Frank Ski's show. Frank Ski and I had real conversations. My daughter was being dropped off at my former wife's house by her grandma. Car was robbed in 5 minutes. That happened. Bam. My mom goes to the Chick-fil-A at Colony Square. She gets to number one in the morning. She's 79 years old. She's retired. That Chick-fil-A was robbed in broad daylight. And it wasn't a quick robbery. It was a long robbery. That happened. Mm. One of my closest friends in the world attempted carjacking. She videotapes the carjackers getting away. Nobody comes. I mean, videotapes the vehicle that they use. But my point is I'm telling you how I got, for anybody, well, why are you renting? That's how I got here. Frank Ski said, are you planning on running for mayor? I said, absolutely not. But there's no term limit on being a citizen. I have a big platform. What? I have almost 400,000 Twitter followers, 47,000 on Instagram, 50,000 on Facebook. I'm a person. If my daughter's getting dropped off at my former wife's house, right? I get to be, when your daughter's in a situation, you get to be a father.
For sure.
I'm on the radio telling you that there are things that are happening in the city of Atlanta that nobody is talking about. And that when I was mayor, they would have been talking about them.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, just check this out. 20% of the people say I want to leave. 73% of them say if the election was tomorrow, I would leave immediately. If that happens financially, Atlanta is like Birmingham.
What you mean?
Never thought about it like
financially.
If you remove the, take Buckhead out of Atlanta and the financial wherewithal that comes from all that property tax and sales tax revenue and the money that supports our schools, financially, we're closer to Birmingham.
Yeah, they got like 30% or something, yeah. Right?
So my point is, bank, nobody would come and take 30% of your money without it being a full meeting.
Straighten it.
Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. People start saying, well, that can't happen. Anybody who's been alive on earth knows that wealth and influence makes things that could not happen.
Facts.
Happen.
Facts.
True.
Now check it out. November 22nd. Is the year that Governor Kemp will be running for re-election, and Stacey Abrams will be the Democratic nominee in a cage death match to be governor. So at the exact same time, you're gonna have a referendum about a city of Buckhead.
Yeah,
come on now.
Deep.
So I'm a citizen.
Yeah.
Who served this city for two terms. And I got to talk. That's what I did on Frank Ski's show. So I say all of that to say, folks can measure it all. But talk to me about all of it. Talk to me about all of it. And finally, I want to say this. If you were getting heart surgery next week, you want somebody to perform heart surgery, you wouldn't want people who want to go to medical school. These other people, they want to go to medical school.
They ain't worked on nothing but a mouse in school.
they're medical students.
Yeah.
I think I could do it. I think I could do it. I think. What? You never run. I ran $17 billion in money. The budget of the city is $2.2 billion a year. I built the police force to the biggest it's ever been in history. Right? And I did the things that Black Lives Matter talked about before George Floyd was murdered. So you don't get to come at me with that talk. But what Atlanta needs is calm, steady, tested leadership and somebody that people could pull up on and have a real conversation.
True.
Yeah.
Everybody knows me. They know my phone number. They know how to get to me. They know how to have a conversation with me. That's what this city needs right now. It is a beautiful tapestry on the outside that is weaved together by a whole lot of knitting on the other side that doesn't look so pretty. That's how Atlanta is made. A bunch of meetings that people never see, conversations that people never have, because so that something doesn't erupt and blow up the painting or the tapestry.
Man.
And what's been going on is we've all been watching it completely explode. That's what we've been watching. Man, that's... Guys, pulls out, has a shootout in front of Cheetah. Multiple, multiple duck down, return fire, duck down. What? These are behaviors that none of us, I've been here the whole time, have seen. And where is the outrage? When a three-year-old girl gets shot, where's the outrage? And more than the outrage, where is the, I'm going to stop it. I am going to stop it. And if somebody does it, I'm going to find them. When I was mayor of Atlanta, I raised a ward so high that my chief told me to stop. He said, you put so much award money on the street, it makes people just go commit a crime and turn themselves in. You can't do that. But I mean, I'm not a police chief, you know, but I know how to put some money on somebody's head that you robbed a woman at a gas station and you're out of code.
Right.
Facts.
We had a carjacking Facts. Problem and that's out of code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's real.
You know, I know it's probably a little too much passion for the podcast,
but we need more. Keep going.
This is what I,
keep going.
This is what I believe.
It's the real talk.
How 911 get a voicemail though. They say you call 911 and they be like, is it serious? Hold on.
I'm not gonna speak negatively about anything, but let me tell you something.
I'm just asking.
I don't know. They didn't have that when I was mayor. You didn't get voicemail. Not only did you not have voicemail, you'd have been able to call me. Damn. So the point I'm making is this. Let me tell you something. If I'm fortunate enough to win, we're gonna have 100 days where we're gonna clear the system out. If you got a warrant, any negative interaction with the city, we're going to have 100 days where we have volunteer lawyers, municipal lawyers.
Like an amnesty program?
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah, just amnesty. Come in and work it out. And the city's going to pay for it. I'm going to use some of that $200 million in reserve. So, you know, if you got a situation, it is your time to come and clear it up. Parking ticket, moving violation, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I've had a warrant. It's terrible when you have one. Mm. You know what I mean? You move. I mean, you know, you can't take your lady out. I mean, it's all kind of
right.
She got to drive.
Right.
You know what I mean? She don't know why she driving. All kind of things.
So you got to walk light.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
Tweak it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to make it be cool and turn it into some Jay-Z and Beyonce situation. So here's what but you need 100 days. You're going to clear that up. City's going to pay for it. I don't even want the money because it's going to show our heart.
Right.
You got a situation. Let's clear it up. Whatever it is. I don't want to do anything to you. We're going to clear the deck because what we're trying to do is reset the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hard.
And people like you are going to have to help me reset it.
I'm here.
Because I'm going to be out 100 days telling everybody, you got a situation, come and holler at me.
Come see me. Yeah.
Come see me. But on the 101st day,
your ass is grass.
I gave you 100 days, brother.
To get it right.
I mean, that's 3 months.
Yeah, you gave you 3 whole months to get it right. Yeah.
I'm going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right.
I got you. Don't even worry about the amounts. Yeah. We're going to eat that. City will eat that. Right? That's what the $200 million was for. But on that 101st day, Atlanta is going back to Atlanta.
That's hard.
How much of our problems do you think is so many people coming from other places? And what will you say to all of these people coming from other places? Because they're continuing to pour in. That ain't stopping.
I think that we're going to impose our will on them. I mean, I think something happened during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think that our community, my bottom line thing is we just need to restore our sense of community. That's what people want. They want their lives back. Mm-hmm. And I know that COVID was a global crisis, but at some point that has to stop being an excuse. And somebody has to say that. That's what Atlanta needs right now. And for all of my warts, people always thought that I did a better job than they liked me. That was always the case. So when we would poll and they would look at my data, my job performance was always 10 to 15 points higher than my likability. Always. And that was fine with me. I'd rather you think that I was doing a good job. I'm not trying to hang with you. I don't have no open calendar.
Nah, for real. Shit. I'm cool on it.
I can fill up every minute of the day.
I got real friends.
I mean, the stuff that I've been through, I got real friends.
Yes, right. Sure.
They happy to see me.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to. And so that's where we are right now. So, I mean, I think to your point about the criticism, I think I'm the right person for right now. If it were not for this situation, I wouldn't be viable. But I mean, come on, man. Like $550,000 in one night. Come on, man. I mean, y'all saw. People know that our city is broken.
So you saying basically they might want to quit. Well, Canada, they might want to quit wasting their time.
And I want them all. No. Money. No. Man, live your dream. Do that. Do that.
It's a dream.
But live your dream. But there have been 5 mayoral elections in the city of Atlanta, as I count. And every single one, I won every one. I was Shirley Franklin's manager for her first campaign. Shirley Franklin's manager for a second campaign. I ran the third time. I won the fourth time. And I endorsed Mayor Bottoms and worked hard to make her mayor the fifth time. This is number 6. So everybody on the opposite side of me are doing something that I've done 6 times. Mm-hmm. They've never done it, never won. No council president in Atlanta has ever been elected mayor. Never happened. Right? And these other people, I don't know their names or what they do. I wish him well.
So let me ask you this: with the
who is that?
I don't know. I don't know. Jay needs to be on him, huh? I don't know. I don't know what they do. But let me say this: they've been out here talking a whole lot, and then we dropped that $1,055,000 on them the other day.
Shut up!
You know what I mean? It got real quiet when we dropped that $1,055,000. They transferring money, you know what I mean? And got cousins and all this stuff. One lady wrote herself a check for $500,000. I'm like, that's all well and good. You better be prepared to spend it. You better be prepared to spend it.
So with the...
Y'all got me in all kinds. It's going to be wild. I'm telling you, y'all going to have a busy week. I'm not doing no more friends. Right? Ann Torres is my communication person. She done fainted. She over there on the ground. I mean, just laying on the ground.
We're going to do about mental health, though. Though we need to figure out this mental health. Cause a lot of people fucked up.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about that?
I think we got to have a bigger partnership with Fulton County, and we got to we've got to shift to more of a telehealth model that makes telehealth available for people that need counseling. You need to be able to get on your telephone and talk to a psychologist or a counselor.
For sure.
Because, you know, a big impediment to us getting both health care and mental health care is we don't like to walk into that hospital. Mm-hmm. We don't like to make that appointment and keep that appointment. Right. But my sense is, and my learning is, you can take out your telephone and go into a quiet corner in your house. You're more likely to actually keep and make an appointment with someone to help you stay intact. And then that professional can determine whether you need help. The other things that we're going to do, if I'm fortunate enough to win, is we're going to track when we cut people's water off. And send a care team. If your water gets cut off and you don't turn it back on, something is going on in your house.
Yeah.
And it is a good differentiator to know that we need to surge resources, mm-hmm. because that person is soon going to be homeless.
Right.
And once they're homeless, the it's negative like effects.
Trickle down. Yeah.
Then they're in Grady.
It's like a snowball.
Then they're in the emergency room. Then they're a patient that's $15,000. So all of these things occur, and the city has visibility because we know when you stop paying your water bill.
Right.
So there are a number of things that I want to do. I think that every time a baby is born in the city of Atlanta to somebody who makes $60,000 or less, we need to set aside a bond for that baby. So when they turn 18,
yes,
they get a real check.
Yes.
For sure. Yes. That's hard.
They're doing that in San Francisco right now. And so when that baby is born in the Atlanta city limits, we put a bond. I haven't determined what amount, because I need to know what kind of growth
you're
going to need to write a person a real check. But then when that young girl or boy turns 18 and they're getting ready to be adults, mm-hmm. I'd like them to leave with $25,000, $50,000.
We can get that out of there. Missing 30 million. Get it out of
there. Hey, man, I ain't seen it. Man, I mean, we had a big ceremony. Secretary Hood flew
like,
down.
Would you do like a backlog for like those of us that were born? Like,
no backlog.
Right.
Reparations.
Yeah.
I mean, in San Francisco. So there's this incredible leader in San Francisco. Her name is London Breed. But they've done it in San Francisco, so this is not any pie in the sky. You can't do that. You can totally know. Yeah, 5,000 babies.
Right.
You can totally buy them a bond, and you can it'll mature on their 18th birthday, and it'll all be there, and they can come get it. I'm gonna call it the all there bond.
It's all there.
All there.
It's all there.
So look, I got a 2-part question.
Yes.
So. First part of my 2-part question
is... I'm glad
I
took a nap before I came. Fresh.
It's up. First part of the 2-part question is, once you are elected, since we're going to speak it into existence...
I received that.
Yes. How do you plan on improving the relationship between the city of Atlanta and the AU Center?
Oh, yes.
And then the second part of the question is... With Atlanta being like the city within the city limits, primarily like an urban town, what do you feel is the importance of embracing the hip hop community as far as turning the tide with everything that's going on in the city now? I mean, like embracing the hip hop community and using them to also help aid you, like turn the tide with the urban part of the city of Atlanta.
Yeah. So the first part of your question, I'm going to...
With the AU Center.
With the Atlanta University Center, I'm going to directly engage.
Okay.
When I was mayor before, we had a terrific relationship when they needed additional security cameras, additional funding for security. I was always there. Mm-hmm. I had a one-on-one relationship with all of the presidents.
Okay.
The Mercedes-Benz Stadium is there because of my affinity for the AU Center.
Right.
So Mercedes-Benz was supposed to be next to Georgia Tech, where the electrical facility is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so what I knew is if you put a $1.5 billion asset, then everything around that asset, including the Atlanta University Center,
is going to flourish.
Would be more valuable and would be strengthened. So all of the real estate that they own over there, if you look at the ML King corridor, I won a grant for President Obama to modernize and improve that corridor. Yeah. So and then plus, I mean, I'm a Howard man.
Yeah.
So I deeply appreciate
coming from an HBCU. You understand.
So it's it was never a hard call.
Right.
So what I imagine is going to happen is you're going to have real fluidity.
Right.
Between my office and the Atlanta University Center. And it's really going to be driven by what they want rather than what I want.
Okay.
And so I think that it's going to be consistent with it was before. But here's the difference. The difference is more money is getting ready to be spent than in the history of the United States of America.
Right.
Right. So the Republican deal on infrastructure is $1.2 trillion. Yeah. So the Loeb deal. So Bernie Sanders wants $6 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
which means that that money is going to be pushed down through cities, which right. is why we're going to have the best economy that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Well, President Obama, when the company, when the country was on at risk of Great Depression, got $784 billion in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. So one deal that they're working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the president's not black. It's right. $1.2 trillion.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to get a bankroll.
Yeah. When President Obama was president, the biggest deal that could be done, and we were getting ready to go into a Great Depression, was $784 billion.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I'm just trying to tell you why I think, so in terms of resources, and the mm-hmm. one thing that I proved that I was able to do was to secure federal funding.
Right.
So when I was mayor, we won 4 Tiger Grants. Right. Which yeah. is a competitive
a huge
process
accomplishment
where you have to get in. I won the Choice Neighborhoods Grant, $30 million. The Atlanta Streetcar, $42 million. The Atlanta Beltline, $82 million.
I mean,
I came back from DC with bags.
Yes.
Repeatedly.
Yes.
So the point I'm making is there.
So you went out there and got that check.
I know where the money
is. You know
resides.
What to do.
Oh, I know where the money
is.
You
get it?
Yeah.
And so my sense is that that's going to benefit the Atlanta University Center.
Big fact. Right.
And if you drive over there, I made a speech where I said our ML King should be different than every other ML King
in the country. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You thought I was just.
Yes.
But if you drive over there right now and go to Busy Bee,
it's a huge difference.
And everywhere we lay that infrastructure, what happens? If you look at Edgewood, everybody talked all this trash to me about the Atlanta streetcar. Edgewood is full of black entrepreneurs.
No, sure.
Yeah.
And it only
like
exists
it was back in the day.
Because of that streetcar. Mm-hmm. When that streetcar went down the street and all that sidewalk and light beautification went in, people started doing what?
Mm-hmm. Going to Edgewood. Mm-hmm.
Renting
spending
spaces.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so the federal government paid for that. And when I expand it to the Atlanta Beltline,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be the hottest thing out.
Oh, you said you're going to bring the car
to? I'm take the streetcar to the Atlanta Beltline.
Which way would it go, though?
It's going to go east. So if you imagine it on Edgewood, just imagine it stopping near Crog Street.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
now,
okay.
That's the piece that it needs to work.
Yeah.
Because if me and you are hanging out and you're on a date, you're in the city, you know that I can just hop on the streetcar, it's going to end up at the Beltline. And then I can just hop on the Beltline, it's going to take me back into the city.
Right.
It becomes increasingly viable. So
right.
that's how I feel about the Atlanta University Center. And what was your second question?
And the second question was with
hip-hop.
With the everything within the city limits being so like urbanized, for lack of a better way to put it. What do you think is the importance of embracing the hip hop community once you are elected to help you kind of turn the tide of the urban inner city?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that we're all bigger than hip hop and we're a star machine.
Right.
So I think that it's different than embracing it. I live it. I mean, my relationships with the entertainment community is authentic. I started my career as an entertainment lawyer.
Right.
Folks know that when I represented people, they were out of court before the judge said, "All rise." That's what they used to say when I was with them. So that's just authentic. And so it doesn't even have to be manufactured. I do believe that we need to create some incentive structure for our music business. And we need to support it in the way that we supported our film and TV business.
For sure.
And then I'm going to expand it because I also want to create a regime for television commercials.
Okay.
And so my approach is going to be to embrace it and to have creative meetings. So I think that we're going to have a creative meeting of anybody that has anything that they want to talk about, not once a month, but once every other month.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do it at Breakfast and Barney's, but things get done in Atlanta by people being in a room and being able to say what's on their mind.
To bounce things around.
In an unfettered fashion with somebody that can actually do something about what they're saying.
Right.
Facts.
And so that's why I think, I mean, If you, I mean, if you look at the $1,055,000 that we raised, so much of it was from entertainers. I mean, we left $150,000 outside. We left $150,000 outside.
Damn.
I mean that event was supposed to be 150 people. It was 450. So
that's just a testament of what's to come.
Yeah, it's real. Basically. My point is, it's real. Yeah. It's not, you're not twisting nobody's arm. I mean, it's like, but that's my guy, and I'm gonna come out for him.
It's the man for the job.
Yeah. So that's what I think.
Okay.
I can't wait though. I'm excited.
Me too.
Back at it, you don't got the fever. You don't got the fever back.
Yeah, man. Because you know I don't like to lose.
Nah, we can't lose.
So it's I'm a competitive person, so I'm in it. And once I'm in it, I'm gonna finish, and then we're gonna have an inauguration, and we're gonna have a mayor's ball that people are gonna fly in from all across America to attend. It's gonna be the best night in the city, and then we're gonna get to work.
You think it's gonna be a challenge for voters with the new laws that got passed?
Yes, the laws that the state of Georgia passed were terrible, but everybody's got time to overcome them. So we know what they are. We know exactly what they're designed to do. They're designed to repress the vote of black people. But we have enough time to adjust, and we always show up. I find that when people attack us as savagely as we were attacked by the most recent voting laws, that it invariably backfires. I mean, black people show up with... Yeah. You know, hot wings and sauce and a chair. And we just, you know, we're going to vote that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
We're going to bring our own food. So you say, I can't, I'll bring my own water. Mm-hmm. You know, so
right.
I think that the effect of that is going to actually backfire.
If I never voted before and I was in the booth and I seen, and I'm about to get ready to vote and I see Kasim Reed's name.
Yeah.
What you want me to think of?
Safest city in 40 years.
Say less. That's hard.
There it is.
Verified by the AJC that despises me.
Blue check.
Still had to.
Still had to give it to you. Right.
That in four decades we had never been safer.
Mm-hmm.
And right now that is the issue. It is the issue. There's nothing within 30 points of people feeling that their security and safety is at risk. And their family safety is at risk. And their kids' safety is at risk. And their significant other's safety is at risk.
Yeah.
And I was elected when there was a surge in violent crime before. And I did everything I said I was going to do. I hired 900 police officers. I built the force to 2,000. And we did it in a way that was consistent with who we are.
Mayor Kasim Reed, we appreciate you so much, man.
Big facts.
This time having this conversation
Snow
with
Patrol,
us.
Snow Patrol, baby.
At breakfast at Barney's, man. Much love and success to you. You know, you're welcome anytime. Anytime you want to have a conversation,
we
and really
come
reach
back,
the people.
Remember
back.
The fourth.
Don't sell.
Yes.
Wait till I get elected mayor. Anybody knocking on your door telling you to sell your house, don't sell.
Don't sell.
Don't sell.
Don't sell it.
What you running on? You know how
don't,
people have a
don't
slogan.
Sell.
What you running on?
I'm running on crime the lowest this was been in 40 years.
I'm saying if you could say it in one word.
Low crime.
No. Safety.
No, I'm not him. Safety, man. No. Lowest it's been in 40 years.
I say consistency.
Lowest it's been in 40 years. Crime is the lowest it's been in 40 years.
Hashtag.
You, sure. When you went to the gas station, you went to the gas station to get gas. You walked in the Lenox Mall, you did not walk through a metal detector. Facts. Big walked fact. In the Phipps Mall, you walked in and shopped and left. And you know, that's not your imagination.
Meet your girl, meet your guy. You know what I'm saying?
It's not your imagination.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I mean,
metal
it,
detectors
good...
on Phipps, man. Come on. On Lenox, man. It's you say
yeah,
for Green
Brown. Yeah, I don't even go to
Lenox
anymore.
Yeah,
I went to Piccadilly to get my chicken livers and to buy some tickets. You safe for a Green Brown.
You are. You are. Safe on Bankhead. It's real.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We appreciate you, man.
Head up. I got Bankhead looking like Buckhead now.
Yeah.
Tell me, don't sell.
Don't sell.
Wait till I get elected.
That's the final word. Don't do it. Don't play yourself.
Don't sell.
Y'all get ready, man. You know what I'm saying? Get
Big Facts.
Hold your parking ticket.
Amazing podcast.
Yeah. Hold your parking ticket to the 100 days and come get them cleared up.
Yeah, that is. That is.
I definitely got some tickets I need straight now.
Right. Me too. Let me tell you,
it's all there.
It's all there. That's it.
That's what you're running on.
It's all there.
much success to you. We appreciate you. www.bigfactspod.com.
Salute.
Salute.
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That merch in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah, with the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfactspod.com.
Let's get it.
Get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.